It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. Please open your Bibles. We're going to be in the area of Matthew, the book of Matthew. That's where our study will be today, Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading. We're going through the Beatitudes. And we're going to begin reading there in the 9th verse. And so please that you would open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I need to help you to find the church if you'd like to come. But if you'd like to write to us, and we'd love to hear from you. And again, we do not, unless you request it, we do not respond. We do not continue to send you literature or ask for money or any of those things. We just love to hear from you. And so if there's something we can pray for, or you've been saved and you want to share that, all those wonderful things, we love to hear. And so again, the address here is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would work just fine. And now to begin the study, Matthew chapter 5, wonderful verses of Scripture. We're going to begin reading with this 9th verse and continue down through these wonderful verses of Scripture. Verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And in that 12th verse, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Wonderful scripture verse. And then, of course, we go into verse 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" So we're going to enjoy that study as well as we continue down through these verse-by-verse studies of God's precious Word. Let's begin with prayer now. Father, we thank and praise you that we can enjoy this time together. I just ask that you would take your word and just give it out, Father, with all its power and all its strength and all its authority, and touch every single heart that's listening today. I know there's needs. There's always needs. We always need you. And the time comes, Father, that we decide we don't need you, we're in trouble, because we always need you. We need you for salvation to take our sins away. And then we need you each and every day to live and to grow and to enjoy this life, because we are children of God when we come by faith. So please, show us the importance today, because it's not about riches. It's not about the wealth of this world. It's about knowing you and enjoying that precious time together. So please guide and lead us now today through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We kind of ended last time concerning possessions of things, of stuff, and how it becomes so important to us, and so important that we have and possess so much money and everything. And it's so sad, because it just consumes us. It just really, really consumes our life. And so we need to understand that wealth and riches are really very unimportant. He said, "Well, you can say that. You must have a lot of money." Now, I don't have a lot of money at all. But we need to understand what's important. And God will bless us. God will give us our needs. But we need to understand, we need to have our priorities straight. We must have our priorities in place. The Bible makes it very clear that riches, or stuff in themselves, do not bring happiness, peace, or joy. We think they will. Boy, if I just had another X amount of dollars, then I'll be fine. I'll be okay then. No. You get that much, you're going to want more. and you get that much, and you're going to want more. And the proof is, and this, the fact is, that wealth and riches, position of authority, things like that, they're useful. They can bring honor and glory to God in both cases, the wealth and the position. But when that wealth or position is in place of God, if it takes God's place, if you have made those things your God, there's a problem. We have an example, and that's kind of where we left off last time with Matthew here, concerning this 10th verse. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But we kind of got, because each one of these, we have blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they shall be comforted, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, and blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And then the next one is much like that. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Then it goes on into 12 verse, rejoice. So we're going to go back, and I want you to see that if you really want to be blessed, then we need to put God in his proper place. And sometimes we are not blessed with wealth and riches in this life, but God sure takes care of us and of the soul of the poor and those that come by faith to Jesus. Not just the poor, you know, a lot of people, oh, we got to take care of the poor. Yes, we do. We need to help them, you know, to have clothes and food and things like that. But more important than that, in the same time, we need to bring Christ to them. We need to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ that he died. The story that we're going to go through today, or the message we're going to go through, is in Luke chapter 16, the 19th verse. And there goes all the way down to verse 31 here. So we're just going to enjoy this. It's probably a very common story that you've heard, and it's a true story. There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. In other words, he was very wealthy, had everything that he needed. Now, the other side of that's verse 20. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Laid at his gate. So Lazarus couldn't even walk. Lazarus couldn't do anything. The reason he was a beggar, not because he was lazy, because physically he couldn't do it. And so he found here in verse 21, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So we know that Lazarus was suffering. Lazarus was not well at all. And Lazarus, the only thing he could have, they didn't have the welfare and all the things that we have, Medicaid and all those things that help the poor today. And sometimes those things, I'm afraid, really take us away from the presence of God. There is need for them, yes. But when the government takes the place of God and supplies all your needs, why do you need God? And most people agree with that statement, so they don't. And so they're going to burn the fires of hell, all because, many times, the government has been their God, their supplier of every need that they have. God never intended that. Never intended that for our government or anything. Look at Lazarus here. You say, oh my, he needed help. He needed somebody to come and help him. God took care of him. This life is just a vapor in relationship to eternity. Let's see what takes place here now. And again, don't miss that part, which was laid at the gate, at his gate. So in other words, Lazarus could not move. He wasn't, again, lazy. He just physically, and for his health, could not do anything more than that. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. See, there's a day appointed to be born and a day to die. It didn't matter how much money that rich man had, he's going to die. And no matter how poor Lazarus is, he's going to die on that appointed time. All right. Once again, Lazarus died, was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. What care we have as believers. The rich man died. He was buried. See the difference? Understand in verse 22, at the end of verse 22, that the rich man didn't just die and his body was thrown in the grave. Many people don't believe in a hell. They don't believe in a heaven. They believe that once this life is over, that's it. Well, we're going to find out otherwise. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. This is the rich man. Wait a minute, what happened to where he was at? Let's go back up to verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. What happened to that? Come back down here, verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, plural, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. There is a hell. Now this, I believe, according to the Word of God, that this is in the center of the earth. And everyone that died in Christ by faith before Jesus ever come, died and went to this place called Sheol, which is the center of the earth. But there is two sections to that, two parts to that. One is the part where the rich man went, the fires of hell, and the other, and there's a great gulf fixed between them. You can't pass from one side to the other. And there was Abraham, and there was Lazarus being comforted by Abraham. And a place of peace, a place of joy. Now, the place where Abraham and Lazarus went, that's been emptied out. Because when Jesus finished the work on the cross, he took all those Old Testament saints home with him. And they're all in heaven. Now, that's all been emptied out. But at the other side, the place called hell, the center of the earth here, fires, flame. And he didn't say, bring me a glass of water. Bring me a cup of water. Oh, please. He said, have Lazarus dip his finger and touch my tongue. That's how thirsty he was. You know how when a person gets real thirsty, your tongue swells? This is a real place. And I want you to understand that. I want you to see what happened to the rich man and what happened to this poor man, this man that had nothing, that was sick. Both of them died. Now one of them for eternity will be comforted, and one of them will be tormented for eternity. We have both, tormented or comforted. Now, which do you want? Which do you want? You better face up to the sin that's in your life. And I'm not talking about individual sins. You're born in sin, and you need to take care of that. And you can take care of that because Jesus paid the debt on the cross if you'll come by faith to him. But you got to realize you're a sinner first. You got to recognize the state that you're in. You got to recognize that. And then you need to come by faith and trust in him as your Savior. story continues. He cried and said, Father Abraham, verse 24, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, and one thing I don't want you to miss, you notice the rich man, as well as Lazarus, as well as Abraham, were all of the same family. Abraham was the father. He was from Hebron. He was the one that God chose to leave Ur of Chaldees, come over to the Promised Land. He never possessed the Promised Land in his life, but he's the father of the nation of Israel. And so Lazarus being a son, but this rich man also being of the family, the nation of Israel. He called him son. And also the rich man called him father. So the rich man knew these things. Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is tormented, and he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Look at Abraham's response. They have Moses, the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto thee from the dead, they will repent. Repent means to accept your sin, recognize your sin, and turn from it. He said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. That very last statement is very clear. Why did multitudes follow the Lord Jesus when he was walking upon the earth? It was because of the miracles, not because they were coming and pleading with him, begging him, please forgive me of my sin and set me free, because that's what we need to do. But instead of that, what we have here is a man that desires that his brothers do not come down there. Any funeral I've ever had, and the person didn't know Jesus as their Savior, I have made the statement, it doesn't matter even if they were saved, it would be the same statement. And that is, please trust in Jesus. Come by faith to him, be born again. Those that are in hell, without question, please, please, don't let them come here. And the only way they cannot come there is to confess their sin. The Spirit of God has got to touch your heart. We're not talking about a church. We're not talking about a religion. We've been enjoying this radio ministry for many, many years. And it's not about a given church. You need a good, Bible-believing, soul-winning, teaching church. You need to go to that church, and you need to be faithful to that church. You need to serve that church. But it's not about the church here and now. It's about your soul. And then you come, and you become a member of the church. Now, I'm not talking about joining a certain church, and you should. And I believe that these large mega churches, all these things are going on, I believe without questions, against the will of God. God put down into place the small Bible-believing, soul-winning churches, the local church in a local area. and you should be there and you should support them. Don't be driving 30, 40 miles to a church somewhere. There are soul winning, there are Bible believing, there are Christ-centered churches in every area. And they're probably going to be the smaller churches. Because the world, and if you go to the mega churches, the world has got you. I'm making it as clear as I can. Because I want you to grow in the Lord Jesus. This rich man had everything. He had everything. And now he has nothing, and he's pleading. Abraham said, nope, where there's a gulf fixed between, he can't come over and dip his finger and quench your thirst. Can't do that. And nor is he going to go up and talk to your brothers. Because, you see, they have the Word of God. And the Word of God is what penetrates the heart. And so you get into so many of these places that call themselves churches. They do not preach the Word of God. They preach a social gospel. And if they preach a social gospel, nobody's going to get saved. And there are going to be more and more people right next to this rich man down in hell. Because they've led him right there. They've grabbed a hold of their hand and they've taken him right down there. This rich man in hell is a believer now. But it doesn't matter. It's too late. He is a believer. He's pleading with Abraham. Don't let them come down. He knew he couldn't get out. But he pleaded that somebody could reach their brothers. He said, they have Moses. They have the prophets. They have the Word of God. In other words, they have the same Spirit convicting their heart. And they're not going to listen to somebody that's just been raised from the dead. Because miracles do not save you. Christ saves you. Jesus saves you. Jesus died on the cross. What a story about a rich man and a poor man. That poor man is comforted, and he's comforted today. That rich man is still in torment today. Two thousand years ago. Still in torment. Anyone that's rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior has not listened to the call of the Holy Spirit is in that place of torment. So I ask you that you recognize what's important, and you said, you know, why are we talking about this in the Beatitudes? Is because so many times you make money your God. And if you today people look at folks that are successful, and that means that they're good. That God must be showering blessings down upon them. No, not necessarily. So you understand, whether you're rich or poor, you must come by faith to Jesus. Because many times these riches, and we've looked at this, you know, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the poor in spirit. Look at those. Blessed are the merciful. Look at those. Those are beautiful, beautiful people that have had this character. Fruit of the spirits: love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. When money is the objective of a life, that life becomes a slave to money. And it keeps us controlled. And we let our God control us and make us like this, to where we are comforted and we are meek and we have these qualities. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We must look that direction. Riches cannot feed the heart. Men does not live by bread alone, as the Scripture tells us. Men that does is not happy. They have no peace. What do they want? They want more. Constantly want more. Proverbs 11:28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Riches are uncertain, and it tells us in Proverbs 23:5, for riches certainly make themselves wings and fly away. That's the reason that you're never satisfied. Riches are unsatisfying. No man has ever had enough. The more he gets, the more he wants. Ecclesiastes 4:8, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Riches are not only unsatisfying, riches are unproductive. The deceitfulness of riches, according to Matthew 13:22. Riches are unprofitable. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Mark 10:23. Riches are unfruitful. Your riches are corrupted. James 5:2 tells us. So, there are six items listed here that have been stated by others. So, riches are unreliable. Riches are uncertain. Riches are unsatisfying. Riches are unproductive. Riches are unprofitable. And riches are unfruitful. So, why in the world do you put so much emphasis in riches? God is the only one that's going to give you a blessing and bring satisfaction and joy in your life. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, verse 12 says back in Matthew chapter 5. You know, if we set out, okay, we've talked about these Beatitudes now, and we set out now to fulfill. We're gonna mourn, we're gonna be poor in spirit, we're gonna do all these things. They will never get you into heaven because we are born in sin. We're shapen into iniquity. Men must be born again. We must be born again. Riches do not send you to hell. There's nothing wrong with having money and having wealth. But it's where it is in your life. Does it control you? Are you constantly realizing that, hey, I've got to have more, I don't have enough, all this? Or are you being a good steward of God's money and enjoying it each time? And again, it won't send you to hell, but the love of it sure can. It's been said, it is not a sin to be rich, but there is grave danger that riches may hinder a sinner from coming to God. And riches in the lives of some Christians can hinder you spiritually, without question. God deals with the heart. Many in our day do not understand the joys of being poor in spirit, to be meek, to mourn, to face persecution, that those things bring happiness. All the world knows today is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Blessings is promised to those who are persecuted for living a godly life, being born again. We are not to seek persecution. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So we need to get our heart right to start with, get off of the money and onto God. Yes, to be good stewards. But we are to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the right reason. We are not to seek persecution. We are a peculiar people, but don't bring undue persecution upon yourselves. It is a joy to study. We will continue this verse next time. I want you to answer the question, what are you going to do about Jesus?